Welcome, everybody, to Inside Boxing on the Grueling Truth Sports Network. Inside Boxing, as always, can be followed on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it now, at Grueling Truth. I'm your co-host, Mike Goodpaster. We've got John Raspani, boxing author, here with us. Make sure you Google him on, or I guess you wouldn't Google him. You just go to Prime, whatever, Amazon, to find his books. Especially A Few More Rounds, I think, was the last one he did. But how you doing, John? We got some boxing that's interesting this week.
Yeah, we haven't discussed it in a while, Mike. Doing good. Hopefully you've been as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
All right. if you want to bet the fights, there's some long odds on some fights that I think at least one of these fights we're going to see an upset on one of the three heavyweight fights that we see here. Most of the odds you can get are like 3-1 on whichever fight you want. But you can go to BetMGM, click on the link in the description down below in that video to be able to bet on what we think is our top recommended sports book here. You can click on the link in the description down below if you're watching on YouTube. Let's start off with the fight that may be the most intriguing to me. And that is Daniel Dubois, double D, against Otto. Was it Wallen or Wallen?
Dubois, he's fighting Miller, right?
What the hell am I doing? Jarrell Miller. Yeah, I'm all over the place tonight. But Jarrell Miller, the 300-pound, the big fat dude, he's going to fight Daniel Dubois. Hopefully he's not on steroids and he can pass these drug tests afterwards.
That's the one.
But with Dubois, his last outing against Alexander Usyk, I mean, he was in the fight until the borderline punch people talk about. He got stopped by Usyk. What do you think here? I mean, Jarrell Miller, we haven't really seen him much as of late just because of the issues he's had, but what's your take on this fight?
Well, I give the edge to Dubois. I think he has more talent. I do. Miller is a big dude who can move around pretty good for a big dude, but he's unproven. Dubois has questions, Mike, as you know, because of he seems to, and I hate to say this because, but it's the truth. He seems like he quits and twice now. And that's bad. Now it could be unfair to say that. I mean, he got his orbital bone broken in that other fight with Joe Joyce. And then against Usyk, it seemed like he could get up. And even his promoter said he should have got up. So you have those questions, but if you just look at the talent, I think Dubois is better. Does he have it the strength up here? If he gets into another tough fight with, Jarrell Miller, I don't know. Miller, to me, Miller is an unproven guy. He sure can talk. He's making everybody angry.
And eat. Sure. He can eat, too. Don't
he can eat. That. That's right. He can eat, and he can cheat. So we've got those things.
He can eat. He can cheat. Yep. He eats steroids. Yep. And his last fight was March 18th, where he stopped Lucas Brown. Before that, Derek Cardenas, Ariel Esteban Bracamonte, Bogdan Dinu, which was back in 2018, really the last fight we saw him fight, probably that got any notice over here, was Thomas Adamek, but that was 2018. Adamek was way past it. Of course, you got the Yuan Duopas, whatever the hell his name is, Gerald Washington, so he's beaten some decent guys. But my question is, if Miller can get him into the late rounds, we were both guys that were high on Daniel Dubois at one point.
Very much.
But I think we both have missed the mark on that one. And I don't know how great he is. What are the odds you're getting right now on Jarrell Miller?
3-1 for Dubois. And I would make it more 2-1. I think Miller definitely can win. I still would give the edge to Dubois, but it's a live fight, as the experts and the odds experts like to say. He's a live underdog. Miller, I don't know. They've both got mystery. They're both surrounded in mystery as far as I'm concerned. If Dubois gets into a tough spot again, will he fold? Can Miller come through? I just don't know. And you're right. I mean, it seems like when one of these fights, there's going to be an upset. And see, I think this could be the one that it happens.
Yeah, this is a fight that I will bet. I mean, at 3-1, I'll take Jarrell Miller. My question with Jarrell Miller is we don't know what happens if he gets in a tough fight either. Not been in a lot of them. But, I mean, when I look at this, Dubois, I mean, the orbital bone, I'll give him that one. But it sure looked like he quit against Usyk. And Jarrell Miller, even though he's probably going to be a fat tub of goo like he normally is, I really think Jarrell Miller, if he can hang in this fight 6 or 7 rounds, I think Dubois wears down. I think Jarrell Miller's got an excellent shot to actually win this fight, John.
Definitely. And yeah, see, the thing with Dubois was frustrating because, yeah, he was losing against Usyk and he was starting to get hit, but it didn't even seem like the punches were bothering him that much. And I, plain amateur psychologist here, so whatever, rip me if you want. But it seemed like he just said, I can't beat this guy. I'm just going to sit down. I'm just going to go down here on my knee and just be counted out. And that's a strange attitude for anybody who's ever played sports. You don't give up like that. You try your hardest to the very end, even if you know the guy's better than you. You know, you keep going. Easy for me to say. I wouldn't get hit in the face and all that stuff. But I just was surprised. And he gave Usyk a pretty tough fight. He did. Even the knockdown, as you said, he was hanging tough. So he's got some ability. And Gerald Miller, you know what, Mike? This is, you're going to love this. He might just be a little hungrier than Dubois. Who knows? You know?
I know. That dude ain't ever hungry. He's always full. brings us to the second heavyweight fight on this is another one that I think is really interesting. We got Joseph Parker, who's a guy who has skill. But in his biggest fights, he's always come up short. He'll fight Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder, what, 37, 38 years old?
38.
He has not fought a lot, just to say. I mean, he fought Robert Hellenius for less than a round. What was that? About 13, 14 months ago.
Yes.
And before that, you had the 3 life or death, basically death matches for him against Tyson Fury. So since 2019, I mean, he's had 4 fights, and he's lost 3 of them. Of course, the 3 were to, I know one was supposed to be a draw, but we all watched the fight. We're all adults here. So I think he did have the rematch with Luis Ortiz. And Ortiz is a guy that was out boxing him. And Joseph Parker is a really good boxer. And my question is, though, to me, the way to beat Deontay Wilder is to make him go backwards, not to let him fight out the front foot. So when I think about this fight, I have a hard time believing the way Joseph Parker fights that he's going to be the aggressor, try to get in his grill, outboxing, maybe clinch him or, you know, get in there, get out. I don't see him being able to do that without getting knocked out.
Yeah, that's the big problem he's got is when he fought Joe Joyce, he hit Joe Joyce with some great punches. And at that point, Joe Joyce was taking them all without barely even blinking. And you know what happened later. But he's got to make Deontay Wilder pause a little bit. If Wilder just is coming in looking for to throw that big right, which is what he does, and his jab has improved too, he's going to be setting up that right. And Parker's defense is good, and then it seems like he gets hit. And if he gets hit by one of those rights, he got knocked out by Joe Joyce or stopped by Joe Joyce, not cold, but went down hard. Tyson Fury said, you saw, just stay away from that right hand. That's all I got to say. And then supposedly he gave him some better advice privately about staying away from that right hand. Well, yeah, easier said than done. You got to stay away from it. And how does he do it? If he engages, then he can get hit. If he tries to outbox him, he's got to, like you said, I agree. Wilder can't fight backing up. If you get him backing up, you can beat him because he was awkward and all those other things. He's got all that power, though. That's his great equalizer. So somehow you have to be able to take his punch and make him feel it when you land. And if you can do that, you can beat him. it's quite a hill to climb.
And if you look at Parker over the last 2 or 3 years, he had to win over Junior Fa, which no big deal. He beat Derek Chisora twice. One of them was a split decision. It was extremely close.
Yep.
He got stopped by Joe Joyce. And this year he has beaten Jack Massey, Faiji Opalua. I don't even know if that's his name. I'm sorry to Faiji or whatever the hell his name is if I pronounced it wrong. And Simon Keane, who he stopped in the 3rd round. So my question is, the last time he fought of anybody really to me of note, he got knocked out. And before that, wins over Derek Chisora, Junior Fall, Alex Liope. He lost to Dillian White. Of course, he lost to Anthony Joshua, which was probably his biggest fight. He did win a fight against Andy Ruiz, but if anybody watched that, it could have went either way because nobody really did anything during the fight at all. So, I mean, Joseph Parker has the skills to make this interesting, but I think in the long run, he's going to get knocked out, whether it's the 1st round, the 5th round, or the 8th round. I think he's going to get caught moving back, or he's going to get caught coming in kind of half in between. Because, like I said, I don't see him wanting to be the aggressor. I don't see him wanting to push this fight. I think he's going to try to stay outside, pick his shots, which means eventually that right hand from Wilder is going to catch him on the chin.
Yeah, and if you remember when he fought Joshua, it was very boring because for the heavyweights, because he wouldn't engage. And it was like he was afraid of getting hit by Joshua then. And if he was afraid or overly concerned about getting hit from Joshua, you know how it could be against Wilder. So he's going to have to take chances. And that's a big if. I think you're right, though, about him trying to outbox him. You know, I love Andy Lee. He's one of my favorite fighters for years, and he's got him in his corner, and Andy will give him great strategic advice and everything. But he really, back to one of you said earlier, he really struggled against over-the-hill Derek Chisora, let's be honest. And the first fight could have went anyway. He got knocked down in the first round. So, yeah, trying to predict what's going to happen, what round Parker will probably get stopped is more interesting. But I have a really hard time seeing him win. Unless Wilder is past it a little bit more than we think, and at 38, usually doesn't have him with heavyweights, but he's whatever. Parker can outbox him for two or three or four rounds, but then there's always that worry that he's going to get hit. And when he gets hit with that big right, that's when you find out. If he doesn't move, then, whoa, we got something going here, but it seems unlikely that he'll be able to take it.
Yeah, I don't think he could take it. He couldn't take it from Joe Joyce. Right. He's not going to take it from Deontay Wilder because – I think with Joyce and Dubois, we both think a lot less of them than what we did a couple of years ago at this time. I don't think either one of them panned out, which seems to be the issue with the heavyweight division today. And, I mean, who would you pick in this fight?
Oh, I would definitely pick Wilder to win. I in the article I wrote for The Grueling Truth, I definitely give Wilder the edge to win. I said Parker has a chance. Like I said, that if he has the fight of his life where – he stays away and he outpoints Wilder. I think that's the only way. Or Wilder gets tired. Wilder doesn't fight much. You know, inactivity usually comes.
And at 38 years old and losing three of his last four fights, and in two of those he took pretty
a lot
good
of punishment. Beating. Right, but he's always, his confidence is doesn't seem affected. He's been just ripping on Anthony Joshua like crazy. He's like, oh man, he's already promoting their fight. And that's the other
thing. Because he's not really he's nice to Parker.
They seem like good buddies.
So yeah, but it also it seems like Jarrell Miller and Deontay Wilder all want to rip on Anthony Joshua. But of course, that's because Anthony Joshua is the one with the name. He's the cash cow in this fight.
Yeah, and they're doing a little promoting. I mean, I get it, but you know, I just think that Wilder will eventually catch Parker, and that happens in all of Joseph Parker's fights, pretty much. Even the ones that he wins, he gets caught. And if he gets caught, big lights out. Yeah, Wilder definitely with the big edge here.
Yeah, we got Robert Stewart from Vero Beach says, yo, how you doing, Robert?
Hi, Robert.
Next up, another interesting fight. And this is one where I think we could see an upset. Mm. I think this. Otto, man, he's a southpaw. Mm. I don't know if I would want to jump in against the southpaw because everything that I read this morning says that there's a possibility, and I don't know that they would do this because it seems like they're kind of cutting off their nose to spite their face, but Fury Usyk as the main event with Wilder and Joshua as the undercard co-feature in February.
Whoa.
Which becomes very interesting to me because I don't think that would happen, but it would be interesting. But why would you risk it here? Because you're going to find a southpaw who went life or death with Fury, gave him a huge gash over his eye, actually almost won the fight. And I mean, he's not a big puncher. He beat Muriel Gassev, the former cruiserweight champion, in his last fight, which I tried to watch before the show, but it was god awful boring. But what's your first take at this when you look at this fight? Because the lefty, you know, a talented lefty who can box a little bit, seems awful dangerous right now.
He's definitely a spoiler, but I think Joshua could handle him. I do. I think he's been getting ready for this. He's motivated. I always talk about motivation. Sometimes it can hurt you and sometimes it can help you, but he's definitely been having issues and he's got everybody analyzing him and doing all this stuff. I can't believe that he doesn't believe he can beat this guy southpaw or not. And he's been sparring with southpaws, I'm sure. He's got Ben Davison in his corner this time. He doesn't have Derek James. Does it make a big deal? I don't know. I mean, Joshua's been fighting a long time. He's got to figure it out for himself a little bit. So I think Joshua could handle Otto Whelan. I think it could be a pretty boring fight, like you said, Mike. Whelan is a spoiler. For a big guy, he's kind of a cutie. He's clever in there. He could fool Joshua because, as we know, Joshua can be robotic. But I just have a good feeling here that Joshua is going to win this fight, and he even might stop Whelan late. So there.
I don't know, because I'll tell you, he did not look great against Robert Hellenius.
He did not.
I mean, he stopped him in 7. We watched Wilder take out Hellenius in like a minute or two. Yeah. Jermaine Franklin, he struggled with. I did the scorecards were like 117, 111, 118, 111.
Yeah, he won easy.
I watched that fight. I thought he won the fight, but not as easy as he probably should have. Then, of course, you get the 2 losses to Usyk. And Usyk's a guy that doesn't punch real hard. Kubrat, Polov. It's a guy we've waited on forever to do something that never did.
Yeah.
He got the win against Ruiz. But I think that Joshua is a guy that you would call a reluctant warrior.
Now he which
is a shame. Yeah, it has been really since Klitschko, you know, put him on his butt. And, I mean, with Wallen, he's a dude that he likes to get in your face a little bit. And Joshua gets tired.
He does.
And he's always gotten tired. But when you look at the competition Wallen's fought as lately, Rydell Booker, nothing great, got a decision. The last time he knocked anybody out would have been Travis Kaufman in 2020. So that's been a while, and he's not fought great competition. I mean, he fought a guy in February of 2022, named Kamil Sokolowski, who was 11-24. He beat another dude whose name I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce, you know, who was 9-4-1, and then a split decision against Gassiev, which is worrisome because Gassiev's a really good boxer, but he's a cruiserweight. He's not a dude that's actually a heavyweight here. So I don't know if maybe Tyson Fury, when he fought Otto, you know, maybe didn't take him extremely seriously.
Yeah.
And Wallen just had one of those great nights where he fought out of his mind and we'll never see that again. So what is it? Is Wallen, or Wallen could be a dude that rises to the occasion. You never know.
I don't think so. I think he's pretty good. I'll say that. I think he's pretty good. I think he caught Fury at a time and he cut him really bad, if you remember, and it was looking like the fight might get stopped and be the upset of the century. But Fury came back and he won the fight pretty easily, if I remember. But Wallen is Wallen. He's not, I wouldn't call him a plotter, but he's determined in there. He will not quit, unlike somebody else we were talking about earlier. He's a tough dude. I just think that Joshua is just a little more athletic, perhaps a little faster, and he should be able to get to Wallen. Wallen, not a big puncher, like you said. So that I'm sure Eddie Hearn, Joshua's unofficial daddy, is happy about that. But, you know, what you said in the beginning is certainly true. This is a risky fight. I'm going to say something that I might regret. No, I won't regret it. I don't regret anything. But you and me on camera have spoken about boxing matches that can be fixed at times. I did cross my mind when I was in the kitchen a little while ago that there's so much money riding on Joshua Wilder. Okay, you too. That it's like you say to somebody like Otto, hey, bud, you know, I'll give you like 300 extra thousand. The minute you get hit really, really hard, you just go down and stay down. That's all. I mean, because they want the big fight. Everybody wants it. So it just makes me wonder, or if the fight's close and it goes to the decision, who do you think is going to get it? So
I guarantee on both of these fights who's getting the decision.
Right. It's like when Oscar De La Hoya fought Felix Sturm before he was going to fight Bernard Hopkins. You remember that? Oscar didn't win that fight. I mean, Oscar got screwed over. I thought he got screwed over in the second fight with Mosley, and he even could have won the decision against Trinidad. I've always thought. But that fight, he did not win that fight. He was overweight and not even in the fight, really. But the big one was coming. So when he got the decision, I went, so I could foresee something like that happening. I don't want anything like that to happen because I love boxing. I hate all the darkness that surrounds it sometimes. But there is so much riding on Joshua against Wilder that, you know, it's going to take a lot for one of those guys to lose. And then they're going to get knocked out, but I can't see it. I can't see it. I think Joshua wins, yes.
All right, and we've got Dmitry Bivol fighting also on this card. And it's not against Artur Beterbiev, which is what I would want to see. But it's against Lyndon Arthur, a man who split fights with Anthony Yard, actually beat Yard by a split decision, but got knocked out by him. probably what, two and a half good years fight. Ago.
Yep.
Yeah. In the fourth round, any danger here? Can Arthur hang with Bivol? I would assume not, because I think the only light heavyweight hanging with Bivol is Peter Biev.
Yeah, it's always there's always the same kind of intangibles with this. Is Bivol, did he not prepare correctly? Did he suddenly get old? And I don't see any of that happening with him. He should be able to outbox Arthur and stop him probably. He doesn't stop very many people anymore, but maybe a late stoppage, but definitely a points win. He's got to fight Bitter Biev. That's the fight we want. And I thought the last time I saw Bitter Biev against Yard, I thought maybe he's starting to like decline a little bit because there looked like there was something different about him. But he's still a monster in there. You know, the guy's a beast. So we want to see that fight, and hopefully it happens. But Bitter Biev doesn't fight very much either, Mike. You know, that's disappointing. He seems like he's always...
Nobody fights that much.
Well, yeah. Time. You read old books like I do, and you go, oh, my God. These guys are fighting twice, three, four times a month. These guys fight once a year at the most. So
yeah, but I will say this. If this card is legit, it's the best card from top to bottom that we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it is. I was looking. Frank Sanchez is on there. And yeah, the heavyweight.
Junior Fall.
Yeah, undefeated. I was like, wow, this is one I might have to like.
Hergovic?
Yeah, I might have to watch almost all the fights. So, I mean, I don't usually do that anymore. So this is.
And you got the cruiserweight champion of the world
on there. You do, right. That's right. Guy, another name, Jai Opedia. Something I can't say his name either.
Mike. Something like that. But he's a damn good fighter.
I've seen him fight.
And he's getting stripped for getting paid,
Brightus, right? And that was a...
Yeah, Brightus.
Very impressive. Too. Very impressive victory by him. He's Australian, right? Very impressive. So he can fight. And he'll win by stoppage most likely. So yeah, the card. You're right. The card. Surprisingly, nowadays you get maybe one other fight if you're lucky before the main event. Now most of them are all good.
Yeah, too bad that nothing else will be any good. But hey, but we do have the monster fighting next week.
Inoue is fighting on the 26th. That right? The day after Christmas, and he's can't miss. Even though I might because it's like 3 o'clock in the morning my time, but. In the old days.
Oh, the last few times he's fought has been, I mean, the fight has started my time at like 9. So that should get you in there by 5 or 6.
Yeah, maybe. I'm usually.
You're old. You get up that early. You know you do.
I do. If it's at 5, yeah, it is for sure. But Inoue is truly a phenomenal fighter. He's always somebody that I always enjoy. I don't think he's in any danger here. I think he wins by knockout again. That's Inoue. He's a blast. And then before last week, we had Bam Bam Rodriguez, who's last weekend, who's also, I think it was last weekend or the weekend before. He's also, he's also very talented, Mike. I don't know if you've seen him fight. His technique is very solid, and he looks like the real deal from what I've seen.
His last three fights, he's beaten solid competition.
He has. And Sonny Edwards and had anybody even get close to beating him, and he got beat up. You know, he got beat up. And so Rodriguez is he's fun to watch. So there you go. That's what you want.
So what do you think about Arthur Bitter Biev versus Calum Smith? Because that's January 13th in Quebec City, Canada.
Bitter Biev. I mean, Calum Smith, when he fought Canelo, I don't know what happened in that fight. It was like he froze up. Canelo beat him easy. I think Bitter Biev's too strong unless something's happened in the last year. But it's a good one. You know, it's a good fight. Calum Smith's a good fighter, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened against Canelo. Well, he got hit in the bicep, and that did him in there. But he didn't seem like he really wanted to fight very much. But Bitabiev, he's just such a strong dude. But if I'm Calum Smith, I'm watching the Yard fight, and I'm seeing how Yard got Bitabiev to back up, get away from him a little bit. And that's making me think, look, if he could do that, I could do that. So it's a good fight, but of course you got to get Biev the make him the favorite. The guy's never lost, and he really hasn't ever come close to losing.
All right, and do you believe February 17th in Saudi Arabia that Tyson Fury will walk into the ring to fight Alexander Usyk?
He's been losing so much credibility the last few months. I want to say yes because I'm an optimist, but I wouldn't be surprised. I keep reading online by people like Scoop, whatever his name is.
Malowinski.
He always dodges. He dodges all the fights, blah, blah, blah. And then I saw somebody else that said, there's no way he'll go through with that fight.
But the problem with Scoop is every time he predicts a fight, because everything is fixed and rigged and everything is a conspiracy, he is always wrong on who the fix is in for.
Yeah, that's true. That's why
that makes it hard to take him seriously.
He's right. And that's why I threw him in there. But I don't know. It really depends on how Fury feels about whatever he's trying to lay down as a legacy, because he's got to know that people are really getting tired of him. They're tired of his shtick. That fight which he had, you know, he could have easily lost that one. That was crazy. He did not look good. He looked over the hill. But he might not have been trained properly. That was the feeling.
How about this, John? Yeah. I actually thought he won the fight, but I don't think there's any way they were not going to make sure he got the decision.
Very true, and I agree with you. I thought he won it. He could have lost it. He got knocked down. But if the other guy had been more active, he'd have won. But he wasn't. But that was a weird one. I was like,
we already forgot who the guy is.
I can't even remember. I can't, because I don't even want to attempt to say his name. You and me both, we always muck these names up, and I don't want to say it. So, yeah.
My problem's Eastern European.
Oh, you and me both. It's laughable sometimes, but starts with an O, I think, or whatever. Oh, gosh, I'm not even going to say. No, an N. Doesn't his last name start with an N?
Oh, Francis Ngannou.
There you go. Very good.
I said it correctly.
You said it good, too. So, you young man.
I said it with conviction.
You did.
I don't know if I said it good. I said it right.
You said it
if
like
I did or not. I don't know.
You said it like you knew how to say it. So that's
very, yeah.
Very good.
But all right, John, we're going to go ahead. We're going to wrap it up, but take the favorites, except we both recommend Jarrell Miller as a 3-1 dog.
Yeah.
Against Daniel Dubois.
Yeah. Dubois.
Damn. It's a damn shame that he didn't turn out as good as we thought. But
he sure looked good for a while, man.
When he didn't fight nobody.
Right.
Yeah, he did. Right. But all right, guys, we're going to go. We're going to wrap it up. Make sure you go on Amazon. Look up John Raspani. A few good men. Blood on My Notebook. A Few More Rounds. And the Gotti Ward trilogy book, which is Intimate Warfare,
first one,
which also has some great pictures by Ed Mulholland, but it's a great book. All three books are outstanding. Make sure you check those out. You can follow John on Twitter
I'm on Max Boxing running that, and then at John Boxing on Twitter. I'm not on Twitter as much as I should be, or X. It's called X, Mike.
So. I know, but I'm just going to call it Twitter because I'm not on there as much as I should be either, but I try to.
That's why I had to pause. What's my name on that?
Oh. I mean, we're old. If you combine our age, we'd be like 115.
I know, we are. I got you by 10 years, and let's not talk about it.
Yeah, so that's 115 exactly. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead. We're going to wrap it up. Make sure you check out BetMGM for the best place to bet on the fights this weekend. Bet Jarrell Miller to win. But other than that, we're going to go ahead. We're going to wrap it up. For John Raspani, I'm Mike Goodpasture. You've been watching and listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.